Well, you guys know you've got some pretty awesome hosts in this room with John and Diane. Yeah, come on, just do it. Let's just do it. We love them. We love them. All right, well, I'm blessed to be with Shane. I thought what we do is I'll tell you a little bit about myself, and Shane will do the same, and then we can dive into our notes and thoughts on the Holy Spirit. All right. So, my name is Rick Kua, and I'm one of the pastors here. Been on staff since December. It'll be 10 years this coming December. We started going to Grace Chapel about 12 years ago and just loved it. And it's nice to see familiar faces in this room as well. And my wife, Diana, and I do a lot of teaching. She's on staff as well. She's a biblical counselor, and I am in the pastoral care department. There are four of us there. And we do a lot of things related to, people who are having a little tough situation, whether it's a bad diagnosis, a surgery, somebody goes to heaven. We do the planning of the celebration of lives and weddings and things like that. Matter of fact, I have a nice wedding this afternoon. So we love premarital counseling and just generally whatever has to do with prayer and loving the body and trying to be there in a difficult moment, as we know, and we would hope that you guys would be there for any of us in a difficult moment. So Diana and I have been married 47 years. We have two children, grown children, Nikki and Nina, and we have two grandkids and a son-in-law, and originally from Syracuse, New York, but been here for 34 glorious years without a snow shovel, I might add. And we sure love Middle Tennessee, and we love our hometown as well. And what I've come to find out is that I don't care where you go in this land or around this planet, there's always some beautiful folks that live there and celebrate their own culture in their own area. So we just love to jump in with that wherever we are. So, Shane.
Yes, sir.
Just about to get used to each other right now.
Yeah, that's right. I know it. Just about. They call us Yankabillies. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Oh.
Yankabillies.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's
not
a good one.
Yeah, I've not heard that.
No, I didn't hear that one until they coined us that. And
that's cool. Yeah. Well, my wife and I, we came to Grace Chapel about 6 years ago. We moved here from the Northwest, from the Seattle area. Came to Grace Chapel and just knew kind of we were at home almost immediately. The only reason I say almost because you're supposed to try out a couple other churches. So we did that, and then going out of the parking lot, we decided like, okay, we're gonna just go back to Grace Chapel. Pretty great place, right? And so we have ministry background. I've been a staff pastor in a couple different places, and have also a small corporate background, which I was doing up until January 1st when I was invited to join the staff. And my wife is also on staff here. She leads women's ministry worship, and you'll see her sometimes along with Pastor Rick on any one of these platforms around here singing too. She's the one, and I always describe her, she's the one, this is easy. Everybody knows her because she's in a wheelchair, and she's saying, you know, that's my wife. So they know her, nobody knows me.
We're going to change that today.
That worked really well for a long time.
Right.
Yeah. And but here we are. So we have young adults, and I have community outreach, and those are the two ministries we serve in a lot. So we have the blood drive out here, and if you need to give some blood, that serves our community. I'm outreaching right now. And we're so happy to be a part of Grace Chapel, and we love the people here. We love the staff here, and so thankful that God has given us another shot in ministry here in Franklin. And, so anyway, just happy to be here all the way around. No
yeah.
Kids, married 15 years, two dogs.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Well, you got a lot of kids, just not biologically, right?
That's right. Eric and I are just talking. Right now, the going rate, 0 to 18, $250,000. That's how much it's running, folks, right? Average in the United States.
Wow.
Yeah. Cheaper hobbies.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
They're cheaper hobby.
Yeah. Man. That's great.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so we love this topic. You know, the Holy Spirit sometimes is the most misunderstood of the Trinity because of a lot of excess and a lot of different things that go on that don't point to Jesus. I think one of the big things we'll take away today is the fact that the Holy Spirit's job is to point us to Jesus, not to be the main event, but to use all the wonderful stuff that he has in and through us to point people to the Lord. Before we get going into the notes, by the way, Pastor Myron has given us some wonderful notes, and there is a lot of study that is available through these notes after Sunday as well. We won't hit every iota of detail. We'll try and give you the write-in. If you miss a write-in, it's at the end of the whole lesson. They're all listed out there, but we want to go through it. But again, we really invite you to do some extra work on your own, looking up all the scriptures, praying, asking God to help reveal things to you as well. Today, we want to give you some nuggets and some thoughts that we have. Also, I will say that at the end of our discussion here and after your small group time, there will be a time for Q&A, and I would encourage you, and I know Shane as well, that if there's any questions that you have, when you looked at this topic and you thought, man, I sure hope they talk about this, and if we haven't touched on it in the Q&A, we'll do our very best to answer any question you've got. We're not expert theologians. We're folks on a journey the same as you, so if there's something where we don't maybe have a full answer, we would welcome anybody to chime in. It's going to be kind of an interactive time with the Q&A. So the Holy Spirit, the thing I wanted to say right off the bat is you receive the Holy Spirit at salvation. You got the Father, Son, and the Holy Trinity in the Holy Spirit. You got all three. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's a he in the Godhead. So, but there's a difference between the indwelling Holy Spirit that you receive at salvation and the power of the Holy Spirit that comes upon you, an extra dose, a little extra charge when you really pray to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the best way I can describe it to you is when you're in a situation, have you ever been in a situation? You know, my life is one situation after another. And when I'm in that situation, I am praying. I'm saying, Lord, please send your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, give me your wisdom. I've got to meet with this one or that one or have this confrontation or this counseling time. I need your wisdom. And I ask to be filled, and I pray that way. And it's pretty remarkable. I may get into a situation, and at the beginning of it, I'm listening to somebody's story and I'm thinking, I got nothing. I don't have a, right? What am I going to say? This is out of my league, whatever. But the Holy Spirit all of a sudden plants that thought and reminds you of a scripture. And now you're able to, you might not be able to fix everything because God's the fixer. We're just the vessel, right? But at that moment in time, you can say something and encourage somebody in. Many times you don't even know what that did to them. But maybe years later, somebody will say, remember that time when we had coffee over that frothy monkey place and you told me X, Y, and Z? And you might not even remember saying it, but oh, they do. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. So that's what we're going to talk about today. The other two quick analogies I would use is, you all know what a pilot light is on a gas stove or on your hot water heater. It's that little flame, right? That whenever, on command, you turn the knob and the pilot light shoots up into a full flame. That's kind of the way the Holy Spirit is. We have a pilot light of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's the way, we have his fullness. We have 100% of him, no question. But it's like a pilot light, but then when we press in and pray and ask for more, It's like turning that knob on the stove, and that flame, his flame, ignites in our lives. The other thing is it's kind of, for me, akin to glow-in-the-dark toys. Remember those crazy things? Well, we had, as kids, we had everything. We grew up Catholic, and, you know, we'd go to the Catholic shop, and they had glow-in-the-dark everything. We had the rosary beads. We had all the saints. We had the barn animals. We had every glow-in-the-dark thing that related to the Bible and the story of Jesus. And we'd get under the covers, my sister and I, and we'd set up the little city, and there'd be a little glow there, but eventually that glow in the dark, that glow would dim. So you know what we had to do, right? We put all those things in the basket. We got out of bed, took the lampshade off, and held it up to the light. And we charged it up. And then we got under those covers in the dark, and it was bright. And that's kind of, these are crazy things, guys. My wife's analogy is the one that's a little more sane, which is the pilot light. Mine is the crazy glow-in-the-dark toys. But, you know, when we pray, man, it's that fire comes in, and that understanding and wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit. And again, his job is to fill us with wisdom, to point us to Christ. That's what it's about, valuable. We can talk later on about some of the manifestations, especially speaking in tongues, because that's a lot of things. That's something that's a big mystery. It's very comfortable and common to many, but it's also a mystery to some. And there are some that don't think that's for today, you know, and we're here to, you know, respect each other's opinion, but at the same time, we want to show what the Bible says, and we believe in the Word cover to cover, not as Pastor Steve preached a few weeks ago. I think he said Thomas Jefferson many years ago would just rip out the pages that he didn't agree in. We don't do that. There's something in the back of that book about, you know, don't adding to and don't take away, and we kind of take that seriously. But anyway, that's my little short story while we get into our notes, understanding the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned earlier, number one, he is the most misunderstood person in the Godhead. And again, it's because of the excess and the error. I've been to Holy Spirit or Holy Fire. I've been to those kind of charismatic meetings. And I went there to receive, not to make a judgment. But many times I would, you know, I would usually receive something, because when you're hungry, God will give it to you no matter where you are, no matter what's going on. But I would always go in a way saying, man, there wasn't a lot of Jesus in the midst of this. It's, again, that thing where the main event was the Holy Spirit. Again, he is a person. Number two, he is beloved and held in high esteem by the Father and the Son. I will read this. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Any who speak a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come. Matthew 12:32. Now that's some pretty serious stuff. So the very next thing that we all probably ask ourselves is, have I done that? Or I never want to do that, or I'm worried that I'm going to do that. And I'm going to tell you, if you love God and you're truly born again, you're not going to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You're just not going to do that. You're not going to go to that extreme where you ascribe to the Spirit those things that you would never think of ascribing to him. In other words, you know, when Jesus did his miracles, it was the power of the Holy Spirit, not the power of the devil, right? And that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Number three, he is a person, as we said, one of three in the Godhead. He is a person. Number four, he glorifies Jesus. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. He glorifies Jesus. He points people to Jesus. Number five, he was a companion to Old Testament believers. Number six, he empowers New Testament believers. And this is what we're talking about, that situation where you need something from the Holy Spirit in a certain situation. And all of a sudden something comes to you and you think, you have two thoughts. The first one is the fleshly thought of, oh, that was good, you know. And the next one is, that's from the Lord, because it is. That's what God gives you. And you know what? He gives us good stuff. It's okay to feel good about what the Spirit gives us in order to help somebody else. He empowers New Testament believers. Number seven, there are different portraits of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. And again, many beautiful notes here from Pastor Myron. On your own, dig in. Have some quiet time with the Lord and go through a lot of these scriptures. He alights. He comes upon you. He endues with power. The Holy Spirit sits upon many pictures. Number eight, the Holy Spirit can be resisted. How many times have you been in a situation where you knew what the right thing to do was, right? And you didn't do it. Either you did something else that was not right, or you did nothing at all. I mean, you know that feeling where you just say, I've got to say this. I've got to do this. I've got to go here. I've got to call this person. And you don't do it. And that's when we resist the Spirit. Why we do it? Maybe fear. Fear of man is a huge thing. Just worried about what somebody else is going to say. Worried about if we are missing it and we're going to get it wrong. We really do think that people are thinking about us a lot. A number of years ago, our daughter was living with us and she had two dogs, Bruno and Brady. And we had just a great household, and we just had a ball during those years. One day I was feeling a little down. My love language is, and this is not so you can speak to my love language, I'm just being vulnerable here. One of them is words of affirmation. So I'm a musician, right? So naturally, how did I do? Come on, you know, that's what it is. So I'm bummed out, man. My wife is busy doing her thing, and man, I'm doing dishes. I'm just at the sink doing dishes and, you know, feeling low. She's sitting, we had an open floor plan. She's sitting over on a chair and I'm just looking down one dish after another. I'm bummed out, man. All of a sudden I hear her sweet voice say, oh, honey, what's the matter? What's wrong? Come over here. My heart jumped. I look up. She's talking to the dog. Yeah, you know. So the point is, you know, fear of man because they're thinking about us. They're worrying about their own stuff, you know. So when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, take a risk. What's the worst that happens? Maybe you miss it, or somebody may not respond in a positive way. But that doesn't mean they didn't get it and they weren't convicted by that. And that because, again, this is another story where a lot of us can say years ago, man, we said one thing or did one thing, and man, we had no idea. And then later on, somebody would say, you know what you said to me that day, even though I wasn't ready to receive it, man, there was so much truth in that. Guys, we don't do God's good stuff for a reward. We do it because we love God and we want to love his people. But in God's economy, we're going to reap what we sow. That's the way it is. He said it. That's not our motive for doing his work and his will and his good. But there is a benefit that comes back. So don't grow weary, as the word says, in well-doing. For in due time you will reap. Maybe it's going to be the big reaping when we're in heaven, but maybe it's a little bit along the way. The enemy would want to bum us out and let us think that, man, you're that's all wrong. You're not thinking the right stuff. Nobody appreciates it. You're just talking, yakking. Don't listen to lies. Listen to the word and do what the word says. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. Let's not do that. Number 9, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. This is a similar thing where if the Holy Spirit's speaking to us, telling us something that's good for us or others, and we're resisting, there's a little bit of sadness there. Grieving the Spirit is when the Holy Spirit says no and we say yes, like we said earlier. Number 10. The Holy Spirit responds where he is invited, welcomed, and yielded to. Invite him in. Invite him in. Invite him in. There was a... Yes, right? Well, the thing is that we have to want him in to be yielded to him, you know, instead of always having that wall up and cracking that door to the Holy Spirit a little. We've got to get comfortable knowing his voice, as you say, and be yielded to him. All right. So Shane's going to pick up on the work of the Holy Spirit.
You know, some interesting statistics have come out recently. Barna, who does a lot of, Christian statistic surveys, and narrowed down recently 61% of practicing Christians believe that when they pray, or whoever prays, other religions or what have you, it's the same God or the same Spirit. So it doesn't matter which ideology it is. 61% of people that sit in churches today are thinking that it's kind of a universal thing, which is really kind of scary, right? And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit and we're talking about who Holy Spirit is, and you'll hear Myron, he'll always teach and say Holy Spirit. He never says the Holy Spirit. It's always Holy Spirit. So when we teach and we talk about Holy Spirit as a person, as part of the three-in-one Godhead, the Holy Trinity, I think that we have to kind of take the view that not the rest of the 61% are doing, but we have to look at what the 39% are doing. And the 39% are saying, okay, we have three, right? We have Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And this is one unit. And this Holy Spirit helps work in and through us, as Pastor Rick said. And then there's some things that come along with that. And so when we look into the work of the Holy Spirit, we have to look at really what the Holy Spirit is and what our view of the Holy Spirit is and what our view of God really is, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And so as we point to Jesus, if Jesus is the only way, well, it's cool because when Jesus was baptized, the Bible says the Spirit of God came right down on him like a dove, right? And so that's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same Jesus. That's the same God. Are we good on that?
Good.
Okay, great. So... the Holy Spirit, this is number one under the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. It doesn't say a comforter, it says the comforter. I'll read these scriptures for us because we only have a few of these here. So I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Right? And then underneath that, in each one of these, Pastor Myron wrote these really cool response prayers. Did anybody grow up Catholic? I have Catholic heritage. So you're used to response kind of prayers and response reciting. And to a degree, there's really nothing wrong with that. And this is good response stuff to the Holy Spirit. So when you have one of these needs, don't be afraid to kind of maybe highlight these and However you remember things, or just take a couple words out of these prayers. But I'll let you look at those on your own, because I think that's good quiet time stuff. So number two, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Romans 8:2, 10-11. Really kind of cool, right?
Mm.
So that power, the same power, we sing that song all the time, right? It's on the radio all the time. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that's the same one. That's us. I think it's Jeremy's song, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I mean, that's it. That's that power, it brings life and power, right? So the Holy Spirit, number three, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which precedes the Father, he shall testify to me. So the Holy Spirit, as we went through, when you were talking, always points back to Jesus. It should testify to Jesus. There should be nothing going on in the room that doesn't point back to a Jesus thing. And I would agree with you that in my charismatic situations, so there's moments where I've sat there and I'm like, man, I'm not sure which way, not the Spirit's going, but a Spirit's going.
Right. 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 Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we want to make sure it goes back to Jesus every time.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
All right, number four, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of adoption. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's so good. Number five, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of holiness. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared, to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Number six, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. This one right here, our church is called Grace Chapel, right? So the Spirit of grace is sometimes missed. And I just got done talking to the young adults on Friday about family. And there is some pretty poignant New Testament scriptures that point at family and how we treat one another. And it seems like when folks start understanding or getting great church experiences and start like diving into the more that God has, and they get around people who are like, I want to be more like that, and then they come back to their family every time, they're like honestly, this is like the toughest part of my life is going back to my family, right? But I would argue that in the New Testament, Paul directly correlates our success in God to how we treat with love and grace our family. Further, Joseph in the Old Testament, who was thrown in a pit by his brothers, and his brothers sat up and had a meal talking about, are they going to kill him? Well, then some people came by and they sold him, and then he goes and gets sold, and then he ends up in jail for something he didn't do, and gets out, and he has a son. Well, his family had, his dad had like four wives, and so there's psychological damage going on. His brothers obviously were confused. This is real life stuff. And then he names his kid, like, I think it was Manasseh, and that means like, I'll forget my family, I forget my father's house, and I'm like done with that. So I mean, he's all messed up, and then all of a sudden he's in Pharaoh's home. Right? A really cool story. And he becomes lord of Pharaoh's home. He's like essentially head of Egypt. And then there's great famine in the land. And guess who ends up coming before him unknowingly was his family.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, God did all of that, had grace through all of that on me so I can extend grace back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So in the spirit of grace, I want us to remember that needs to be extended to everybody,
that's
not just
good.
Our coworker.
That's good.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
So how much worse, sterner and heavier punishment do you suppose he will be judged to deserve who has spurned and thus trampled under the foot of the Son of God? and who has considered the covenant of the blood by which he has consecrated common and unhallowed, thus profaning it and insulting and outraging the Holy Spirit, who imparts grace, the unmerited favor and blessing of God. Hebrews 10:29. I would submit that it's very important that we pray that God shows us how to have grace through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Number 7, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of supplication. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Awesome. Zechariah 12:10.
Mm.
Cool. So the rest of this is supplemental material that is deep, it's profound. We have, and we're not going to go through every piece of this, but before we go into our Q&A time, I think it's important to talk about he brings the presence of Jesus, he brings the likeness of Jesus, he brings the power of Jesus.
Mm.
I think that scares people, but it's really true. So walking in the Spirit is the next part, and abiding speaks of complete dependence. Abiding speaks of deep trust and rest. Abiding speaks of close communion. Abiding speaks of bearing fruit. Abiding speaks of a total surrender. And then, of course, the biblical names of the Holy Spirit, which are a ton.
Mm. Mm.
But this is everything that the Holy Spirit is supposed to be and does in our lives still to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
That's kind of how we were gonna wrap the note part up, right?
Yeah. And I think, time-wise, guys, are you going to go into the small groups now? Is that what happens next? Yeah, that'd be great. All right. So, guys, we'll see you after your small group time. And I know John will probably give you instructions. Oh, Diane will give you instructions. Come on, Diane.
Yeah.